something that God has given us through Christ. Now, in the last passage last week, Paul acknowledged that his bonds were from Jesus. We all need to do the same. We need to acknowledge that the trials that we face, God allowed them in our lives. He's using them in our lives to teach and refine and grow us. And now in this passage, Paul is talking about his own life and how it's all about Christ. Even though he has suffered so much, he said, this is what my life is about. It's about Jesus who's given me eternal life. So we'll start there in verse 19 where we finished last week. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So our title, verse 21, to me to live is Christ. Lord, give us your presence, your wisdom, your power tonight. Through your precious word, may we grow through it and learn through it. And may you be pleased and glorified, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So, that'd be a good life verse for all of us, wouldn't it? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, that's why we're here, is to serve Christ. Whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. And so Paul there talked about his hope there in verse 20. That's what keeps us going, amen, is that we know that there's more life than this life. Like Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, 1 Corinthians 15:19. We're looking for that blessed hope, Titus 2:13, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that hope keeps us going. That hope, verse 20, gives us boldness. He says that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness, as always, so now also, and where to have that same boldness, because we have Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And we should be bold. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. But then here at the end of verse 20, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Jesus is going to be magnified by me because my life is about him. And this is why we're here, right? 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He owns us now. He bought us with his blood. And we all know 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Worthy is the Lamb. And we are here to magnify him. And it begs the question, the rhetorical question, is Christ worth it? Of course he is. Is he worth us giving him our all? Yes, he is. Whether by life or by death, he says, I'm here, I'm his. And he's going to be magnified in my body, whether I live or whether I die. And then verse 21, for me to live is Christ. Jesus is my life, he said. And this should be all of our theme, that my life is Jesus, and it's about Jesus. For me to live is Christ. He said a similar thing, remember in Galatians 2:20, let's turn there. Back when we went through Galatians, most of you know 2:20, very common verse. But notice he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, my life is about Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Look at Colossians 3:4, if you would. We looked at this in Sunday school recently. But He says, when Christ, who is our life, so Jesus doesn't just give us life at salvation, eternal life. He is our life. He becomes our life when we get saved. He moves in. He purchases us. We are his. He is our life. And that's what Paul is saying. For me to live is Christ. That's why I'm here. That's my life, is Jesus. My life is to please Jesus, to serve Jesus, to honor Jesus, to be that living sacrifice that we read about in Romans 12. He says, for me to live is Christ, and he says, and to die is gain. In other words, once it's over, this life, all I do is gain heaven, gain a new body, gain the presence of the Lord forever. To die, not only to self, but to die physically, for Christians is just a graduation. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Paul says, for me to live is Jesus, and once I die, I just gain. And then he expounds upon that a little bit by saying there, I'm in a strait. Now, Paul wrote this not long after he got stoned there in the book of Acts, and then they thought he was dead, and then he stood up and said, let's go. Then he also talks about in 1 Corinthians how God gave him a glimpse of heaven, and he heard things he wasn't allowed to share in heaven. But after that happened, this was Paul. Paul said, I'd rather just go to heaven. I have a desire to depart. I'm sure there were a lot of aches and pains from all the beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks. And he said, honestly, if it was up to me, I would just say, Lord, take me home. That's what he's saying, isn't it? I'm in a strait, though. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The best thing that could ever happen is I just go to heaven. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, God is the one that gets to decide when it's my time. And God is leaving me here because I'm here for you churches. You still need me. You still need me to write my epistles. You still need me to encourage you and rebuke you and help you along. And so until God decides it's time, I will accept whatever he wants for me. That's a good attitude to have, isn't it? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'd rather go to heaven, but God's going to leave me here as long as he sees fit, as long as he thinks is best for me. And that's how Paul lived his life. And what a blessed way to live your life. And he finishes with the theme of our book, and that's joy. He says, verse 25, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the theme of the book. It's the most common word, joy and rejoicing. And he here says, I just want your joy to grow. I just want your joy to abound. And his already was. He says, but I want you guys to get this, the joy of the Lord. And, of course, where do we get the joy? Well, we get it from our hope, don't we? Romans 5, turn there, verse 2. How are we able to rejoice when life is full of pain? Because we're going to heaven. Amen? Jesus is coming back to get us. Romans 5, 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. We rejoice in the hope that we have that Jesus is coming back. Romans 12, 12, you know what it says? Rejoicing in hope. Romans 15, 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy. So see that connection between joy and hope? So Paul started off this passage talking about his hope. The hope gave him boldness. The hope gave him the ability to say, my life is all about Jesus. I'd rather just die and go to heaven, but he wants me here longer, and it's up to him. He can say all of that because of the hope that he has in Christ. But ultimately, you know, rejoicing is a choice, isn't it? We can choose to rejoice in what we have in Christ, or we can choose to not rejoice and mumble and murmur and whatever and be a sourpuss. If you go to Habakkuk 3, we have a good example of choosing to rejoice. Habakkuk is a kind of a depressing book, really. It's quite negative because God's pronouncing his woes upon Israel. But at the very end of the book, it's after Nahum. I'm sure that helped a lot. The very end of the book, in chapter 3, verse 17. And I don't know if it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk, but it's one of those. Anyway, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That's a pretty kind of downer verse, isn't it? Everything is failing. I'm broke. I'm in pain. Nothing's working. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That needs to be us. Amen. Yes, life is going to keep throwing things our way because we live in a sinful world and Satan's the God of this world and so forth, but he can't take away our salvation. He can't take away heaven. He can't take away our hope, can he? It's ours. And that's why Paul wrote Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Just keep rejoicing. And he says to this church, God's leaving me behind for you. So be thankful for that. And let's rejoice together. And I want you to rejoice even more. Because I get to stay here a little bit longer and be a blessing to you churches. But because of the hope that he had, he was able to say, you know, Jesus is going to be magnified in my body. Whether he decides to kill me or whether he decides to leave me here, whatever I do, I'm going to do it to magnify him. And that, there's pain. But the worst that man can do to me is kill me, and if he does, I just gain. I gain heaven. For me to live is Christ, he said, and to die is gain. What a beautiful truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Paul's example in this passage, Lord. The hope that he had just drove him, and he was able to rejoice no matter what. And may we be the same. May we just live a life of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength no matter what Satan throws our way. May we live that joy and may we live for you. And like Paul, say so you own us and for us to live is you and to die is to be with you. So may that be our theme verse in our walk with thee. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you and so much in Jesus.